This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise's Raise Your Game. It's also Motivational Monday. I've got Huiyi Wen from Leadonomics joining us. And today's topic, the battle for our minds. Are we winning or losing? What a way, for Raise Your Game and to start the week as well.
Exactly, Frida. Thank you so much for having me here once again. And I thought it'd be great to explore with you today a topic that's an ongoing conversation in terms of employee health and wellness, you know. Oftentimes when you hear that, what comes to mind?
Yeah, you know, companies with gyms, Google-like office, place for you to sleep, you know, salad bars, good food. But there's another side to health and wellness, isn't it? Our mental health.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, if you think about it, the state of our minds, the way we cognitively function, is a critical part of your health. If you're not healthy up there,
yeah,
right? How can you be healthy?
I think the most important thing is to be healthy up there first. Right.
Yeah, but you see, if you talk about immediacy, right, most of the time you know it when you're having an unhealthy week physically, right?
Mm.
But how often do we really stop to take stock of what's going on up there?
Mm. Right. You know, I totally agree with you as well.
Yeah. Mm. Do you ever get that thing whereby, you know, you meet up with friends and you go, hey, Frida, how are you doing? Or, you know, you say, hi, friend, how are you doing? And everyone is just so overwhelmed now these days.
I'm busy is a popular word.
Busy, yeah,
right?
I'm so busy doing this, and we are always perennially busy.
Mm.
Do you feel that?
It'll never stop, you know. And why do you think that that's the case?
Well, it's like life just comes at us and it just never lets up, right? But if you think about it, the way we live, the way we work has changed exponentially, even in the last few decades.
Yeah. And I think you also have to wonder, right, whether you want to let it consume you or not. But tell me more about the kind of changes that have hit us.
Well, if you wind back, really, humans have been around for what? Well, depending on who you talk to, probably about 200,000 years, prehistoric humans until now. And for most of that time, you're talking a great 80%, 90% of the time, we've remained constant. The way we've developed physically, our brains, our lifestyles from, you know, that hunter-gatherer, agrarian culture, we've remained pretty constant. It's only in the last 200 years that everything, our environment, socially, the way we look at money, finance, trade, work has completely changed. Mm. But I just want to kind of bring us back, not too far, not 200,000 years or whatever, but if you look at the early 90s, for example, and the rise of what we call the self-service industry, you see a lot of people starting to do more things, more tasks, what we call shadow jobs. That's, you know, in the 80s and 90s when companies start to go efficiency, optimization. And one way of doing that is by offloading tasks from companies or organizations onto the consumer.
Right. Right. Okay.
So if you think about it, when was the last time you bought your own air ticket?
We always do now,
you
right?
Do,
yeah,
right?
We don't go through a travel agent anymore.
You don't do travel agencies anymore. In some countries, you can check yourself, your groceries out at the supermarket counter.
I think we're already moving there, in this direction
exactly.
as well, right?
I mean, online banking, all that, right?
Okay, so internet banking, everything, we're doing a lot of things. And people are increasingly using machines to get access to services rather than dealing with human interaction now. Not that it's a bad thing, just faster, and one feels a sense of control, self-control.
Yep. I don't know if you've been following the news down south, but today in Changi Airport, you can check yourself all the way in to the airplane and not meet or interact with anybody at all.
Immigration?
Yep.
You just
go through the scanner and everything is automated.
Okay, so don't have to deal with people. And it's good and bad at the same time, right?
Exactly, right?
Okay.
So in the past, you talk about what we call the productivity movement. And this has been pretty recent in the last couple of decades, right? Mm. And we started using all these tools and apps that are meant to help us maximize our time and do any more, especially the rise of technology and automation, right? Mm. So if you look at socially, how has this changed the way we live and work? It's given rise to what we call the harried leisure class. Right? Our middle classes have all expanded in majority of the developed and developing nations. But as a leisure class, a middle class, so to say, we now have shorter working weeks and longer leisure times compared to the agrarian or industrial areas. But we're so busy all the time.
Still,
we've actually now been started to do what we call more tasks per person than we used to, than previous generations.
Mm.
Right. So, you know, it's quite interesting when you see the rise of human society right now. Today, we put a lot more financial value on our time.
Mm.
For example, if you're an average manager in KL, right, based on your monthly wage, an hour's earnings would be what? A few hundred bucks, like $400, $600 bucks, depending on who you work for. But we subconsciously project that value onto our leisure hours.
Right.
Especially today, when you talk about what we call the gig economy, you know, the rise of a lot of freelancers who do multiple jobs.
Right.
In the pursuit of freedom, we then put a value onto every hour of our time. So even our leisure hours today, that's when we feel hard-pressed to squeeze as much as we can to maximize as much of our time as possible.
And that's why weekends feel very short.
Exactly. And then time is never enough, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, and it's finite to us anyway. Sometimes I feel like I have no choice but to multitask though, all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as today's middle class in a developing nation, we are super, super fortunate to have a million and one options available to us. You know, where you want to go and enjoy entertainment, your social life. Do I drink at this bar? Do I eat at this restaurant? Or even if you, Frida, I know you've got a kid as well, right? Your son, do you send him to this school, that after class, you know? Do you get him on this educational app or send him to traditional tuition? It's a million and one options. And but the thing is, in psychology and neuroscience, there's a saying today, right, that we expect our Stone Age brains to process and manage digital age streams of data. There's all these choices and information.
But our brain's still stuck in the Stone Age.
Exactly. Because remember what I said just a couple of minutes ago, right? For the majority of human existence, the last 200,000 years, we've remained pretty constant.
Yeah. And I guess like when you say agrarian, when you plant something, you know it's going to take 3 months, right? Or 6 months before it comes out. So you know that that's how things are, that the speed of things are at that pace.
Exactly. And it's pretty predictable. You know, you've got your spring lambs or your, you know, your paddy fields will be flooded in July, and that's where you need to plant much earlier to in order to harvest in October. All of that.
Okay, I guess also our smartphones has made this easier for us as well. Has not made this easier for us as well.
Well, easier and not so, depending on how you look at it. Have you heard of the term cognitive drain?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so in cognitive drain, we say that we are multitasking, right, Frida? What we really mean is we are forcing our brains to multifunction very rapidly. Right. So every time we switch a task requires cognitive energy. Let's say you're playing, Candy Crush, right?
Okay, Bejeweled.
Let's say you're playing Bejeweled, right? And suddenly you know that, okay, at 11:15, you've got an email coming, you're waiting for that email, right? At the same time, suddenly your boss calls.
Okay.
Right? And then something else happens, right? Your son calls you and says, "Mommy, I got a fever. Can you take me home?" We are always so busy multitasking, multi-switching.
Mm.
And our smartphones, in the pursuit of productivity and giving us that sense of busyness, that sense of accomplishment, is actually causing a brain drain, a cognitive drain.
Okay. Yeah.
Because every time when you switch a task, it takes something, it takes a toll.
It's depleting in my brain cells.
Exactly. Right. But if you think about it, right, every task we take requires us to then consider a new set of decisions.
Mm.
So let's say your boss calls and like, okay, do I pick it up or do I just, you know, ghost him? The email comes in, do I respond now or do I park it for later? If my son calls saying he has a fever, do I go and pick him up myself or do I send my husband to do it? Or you know.
What are the solutions, right?
What are solutions? Every task requires a new set of decisions.
And that's what causes the drain in our brain. We'll continue a little bit more about this, talking about the battle for our minds. Are we winning or losing? Hui Yiwen from Leadonomics here. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9.
Break from midfield. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning, I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Hui Yiwen from Leadernomics. Our topic today is the battle for our minds. Are we winning or losing? Now, just a little earlier, we're talking about this thing called the cognitive drain, you know, where we get these multiple requests all the time, you know. There's an email that's coming through even as I'm talking to you. And and then after that, all these different messages are being pinged, right? And all these things are going on. So our brain, and of course, it drains us. Right, and our brains are like computers and never get downtime.
Exactly. So Frida, can I get you to kind of look at your smartphone right now? Right.
Okay.
So no, you're looking at
all
it.
Right. Okay.
See. Right. Uh-huh. You see your WhatsApp or your Facebook icon there. You see that little red button telling you how many messages are coming in.
I just gotta read it.
Yep, itchy fingers and all that, right? Right. So 10 years ago, what happened was a very smart Facebook engineer created the like button and the alert icons. So originally, those buttons were Facebook blue. You know, let's say you've got 23 messages coming in, right? And that little icon, that alert button, was Facebook blue. But they realized that nobody was clicking on it to read their unread messages.
Okay.
Right, until they changed it red.
Oh.
And people just couldn't stop. Right? It's what we call our lizard brain. It triggers an alert that, oh, there's something that you need to attend to right now.
You know, at the beginning of the year, what I actually did was I actually removed the Facebook app from my phone for about a week.
Fantastic.
You know, I was like, okay, I just need a detox.
But just 1 week?
Just a week. But I kept it on my laptop, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. But just for a week. And then, okay, I think I need to do it again. You know,
possibly.
You know,
New Year's resolution.
New Year's resolution. Just switch it off for a while. You know.
Yeah, but we've got other forms of social media, right? WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, depending on what you follow, right?
I mean, and there are little things. I mean, of course, you've got WhatsApp. You can put it on your
desktop
as well, which I have not. Because I don't want to be, you know, I just, and I guess it's also that message that I tell people that, hey, I will only respond to you when I'm looking at my phone, you know, and that sort of, that kind of thing. And if I'm always responsive, then they'll always be in touch.
The expectation,
right?
And then,
and you also feel kanchong, you know, you also feel, excited and wanting to do this. So it's like, and I'm of that personality that I know I need to, right?
So exactly, you know, that kanchongness, that feeling of adrenaline, is what Tristan Harris, a former design ethicist at Google, calls this an exploitation of our lower level vulnerabilities. Our lizard brain, basically. We are always dominated by addictions. And today we'll talk about tech addictions. So, you know, that kanchongness, what you mentioned, is really a dopamine buzz when you get your likes or you get validated on social media. But what we realize today in neuroscience, that it's progress beyond just the dopamine buzz. Nowadays, it has become so compulsive that, you know, even on your smartphone, you're always swiping down your newsfeed, your emails, just to see if anything has come in. So, Frida, welcome to what we call the attention economy.
Oh, wow. Is that the latest? Okay, what's this all about?
Latest term.
The latest term.
Yes, it's always a new term. So the attention economy is about a fight for what you mentioned earlier, a finite resource, our attention. You think about businesses and marketers always fighting for your dollar and cent, your consumer buying power.
Right.
It's no longer about that. It's no longer about your spending dollar. It's now about your attention.
Right? I mean, that's why YouTube videos are no more than 2 minutes, because any longer than that, you've lost a person's attention.
Sometimes 30 seconds.
Right? I mean, when you look at even a radio, right? Whether someone switches off now, changes the channel right now, it really is the attention, right? And competition isn't even another radio station. Competition is like, I think I'm just going to look at my phone.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it's been, right? It's not even another radio station. It's what takes your attention.
Exactly.
Ah.
So if you think about it, you see, if you drive along, those days we used to have billboards. Mm. But nowadays, billboards and all that are interactive.
Yes.
It's like we are all like magpies and you just need to dangle a shiny thing and immediately our attention will switch to that, right?
So what is this doing to our brains?
Well, like I mentioned, it takes up cognitive effort to attend to every single event. You know, whether small or urgent, it feels like every single thing demands our attention right now.
Okay.
And when your brain multifunctions or multi-switches at that level, what we call rapid task switching, your cognitive function always stays at a very surface level.
Okay, so on one hand, all this mental effort takes a toll on minds, possibly even leading to cognitive burnout.
Oh, definitely.
And on the other hand, ability to think deeper thoughts is being compromised.
Exactly. So let's say, Frida, you and I are having an interpersonal conversation right now, and that requires deeper cognitive functions. We are not just skimming the news. Mm. Right now, we're focusing on each other, right? Following.
Engaging in a deep conversation, right?
Yeah, okay. And that's the key to it, right? Because if you think about complex problems, whether it's a work problem or it's a personal thing or even building a relationship, that's a complex task. Mm. That requires focus and some depth of concentration. Mm. But we're so distracted all the time.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm thinking, like, you know, the younger kids, right, that's only been exposed to the phone, I think they're losing the ability to be social.
Exactly.
If we're not wary of it and making some changes there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what we call a continuous partial attention, and the danger is, like you mentioned, it's not just inhibiting our ability to be social. It's possibly even lowering our IQ.
Okay. Duh. All right.
Ding ding ding. So Frida, I just read a very interesting study from the University of Texas, and they got about 800 smartphone volunteers to do a series of tasks on the computer, right? So this requires concentration and focus, measuring your cognitive capacity, right? Your ability to solve things, right? And group one had their smartphones in silent, face down on the table near them.
Okay.
Group two had their smartphones on silence in their pocket, or in their handbag nearby. Okay. And group three had their smartphones in a different room. So guess what? Definitely group three showed significant difference in performance compared to group one and two. So it means that, you know, even having your smartphone nearby, the presence of your smartphone is already distracting you subconsciously and lowering your cognitive ability.
Okay, so it's a good thing that I'm in the studio. I'm not allowed to bring my handphone in.
Definitely, Frida.
Right, so sounds like the unconscious mind is so dependent on our smartphones that we can't stop thinking about our phones. That's the first thing I reach out for in the morning.
Exactly, we no longer, you know, say good morning to each other or kiss our spouses or children and good morning, right? First thing is check that smartphone.
Right.
And that's the thing, right? So even to not think about something, let's say your smartphone is outside, to not think about it requires mental effort.
Right.
Yeah.
There it is, right there. On my desk.
So there's this rising movement in Silicon Valley. Again, something new, right? That's trying to get tech companies to address how tech design, you know, the way they design apps and smartphones, you know, originally all of this was meant for the greater good. Productivity, connectivity across the world and so forth. But now it has hijacked our minds, right? Mm. What was for greater good is now being manipulated into what we call psychological tricks to exploit human behavior, to exploit your need to attend to things, to exploit our need for validation and satisfaction when we feel like we are being productive, right? Mm. So I think there's a rising dialogue in the tech industry across the world that, you know, tech companies is no longer just about user design, right? It's about the responsibility they have towards shaping society.
Right. Yeah. So the way we communicate and relate to each other has changed so much because of technology and this battle for our minds. Have we lost it?
I would hope not, but unfortunately, I have to cautiously say that we are progressing very dangerously down a slippery slope. Mm. Right? You think about it, we compulsively download new apps, check out new things, new technology. We're moving towards augmented reality, AI.
VR.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So there is a very risk of cognitive burnout in the 21st century. Right. I mean, go to your next family meetup or even just walk out into your office and ask how many of you today are feeling overwhelmed, burnout and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that, what can we do?
Well, Frida, I think you shared a really good tip earlier, right?
Yeah.
Just be mindful about what kind of apps we are putting at our immediate attention on our smartphone screens. That Facebook icon, that WhatsApp, I liked how you shared about how, you know, you tell people that I will respond to you at a certain time, not right now.
Mm.
All of that is all very helpful.
No, but I realized that this was something this year that I realized I was addicted to it. You know, so that's why I removed maybe once in a while, I just want to remove it for a week or whatever, right?
Exactly.
And not, you know, you can still look at it on your laptop or whatever. So you actually say, I think person want to communicate you, they can call you or they can WhatsApp you. Mm. But then there's some things that are just not so urgent, right? So we got to be, you know, yeah. The little things I do. What else do? I go to, I actually go for a detox, right? In a room.
Digital detox?
This is a detox, like a sweat, what we call it? It's like a sauna thing. Mm. And I can't bring equipment in.
Mm.
So I'm there for 45 minutes and I read a book.
Mm.
Right, so these are, or in the morning, what I do is, you know, I read my book, I read my book, and then after that, what I do is then make that time for that, and then I try not to even download digital books. I want to read a physical book.
Physical one.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's not, because you will also get distracted moments on the phone or a gadget because you want to look at something else, right? Mm-hmm. So if you hold a physical book, your attention is just on the book.
Yeah.
Right.
I think deep thought, like a brainstorming, for example, we have companies who say, you know, when you enter a brainstorm or a strategy meeting that requires cognitive functioning, right, leave your phone out of the room. Don't bring it in. That's another good one to do.
Okay, so the little things as well. Because, you know, like even when you go to events and all that, and then we used to say switch off your phone, you know, nobody does it.
Mm.
So you just say, can you put in silent mode? Even that, you know, you go to a conference now, how many people got their heads down? How many people are looking at you?
Mm.
Right, it's just that already, right? And I think, I think maybe the warning for the younger folks who are the digital natives who've never seen anything else, that I think is a greater concern, and that's where parents can come in and tell them to, you know, you just gotta unplug for a while. And we as adults must realize, you know, the earlier days where we need to just, hey, sometimes even going for a walk. That's what I do. I don't bring it with me, you know. So these are my time, the way I don't want to have any gadgets on me, right? And it really is a mental effort.
Exactly.
Not to do it.
That discipline requires to schedule it, to be very ruthless with our consumption habits.
Yeah. But the thing is, the first thing that you think about, oh, now that I'm back, where's the phone? But that's the drain, right? You need to think about it.
Exactly.
So yes, you know, you've got to control your mind. You better win that battle. Who you won from Needonomics here with us, talking about the battle for our minds. Are we winning or losing? You've been listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.